The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
This past week, I was speaking to a member of our congregation named Bill Keyes. And Bill reminded me that about 3 years ago, he underwent surgery for his eyes. You see, his eyes had something called macular degeneration, and there was a hole growing in one of his retinas. And so he underwent a surgery because if he didn't, he would eventually go blind. But in order to recover from this surgery, Bill had to keep his eyes perfectly still and pointed straight down at the ground. And in order to do this, he got a piece of equipment. He got a face rest, like the ones that are on the end of a massage table, except that he could attach his face rest to the end of a chair or the end of his bed so that while he sat or while he slept, he could do so face down with his eyes pointed straight at the ground. But he had to do this for 30 days. And Bill's not the kind of guy to just lie around for a month. And so he could also walk, but when he walked, he had to walk bent over, eyes always straight down to the ground. He did this for 30 days. And he told me that what helped him get through this month was the hope that if he just did this each day for 30 days, he would get to a future in which his eyes would be better, in which they would return to the way that they had been. And as Bill told me this story, I was struck by the parallels with our readings from Acts chapter 1 today. You see, the disciples, they're not bent forward looking at the ground. They're bent backwards, staring up at the sky. But like Bill, they do so in hope of a better future, in hope of a future where things will return to the way that they had been. But what they hope will get better is not their eyes, but their country. The disciples ask Jesus, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? You see, the disciples are hoping for a future in which their country will be returned to its former glory as a mighty kingdom, safe and secure. And the disciples have read Psalm 68, which we also heard this morning, how it describes God as the rider in the sky, the rider upon the clouds, who from on high scatters God's enemy and makes the wicked vanish like smoke. And the disciples then see Jesus lifted up, ascending into the sky and disappearing behind a cloud, and they think to themselves, perhaps this is the moment when that God upon high will come from the sky and scatter our enemies, and things will go back to the way they were. And so the disciples bend back and stare in hopes of catching a glimpse of when that future will come. And I will admit, I've been doing my fair share of staring recently, not up at the sky, but down at my phone. I've been staring at news articles, at government reports, at analyst commentaries, in hopes of catching a glimpse of when that future will come to restore my country to the way it had been before, safe and secure. But Jesus' words to the disciples might as well have been spoken to me, because Jesus says to them, it is not for you to know the times or the periods that the Father has set by his own authority. Jesus says, we aren't to know when he's coming back. He says we aren't to know when he will come and establish an earthly kingdom in which all creation will finally know peace and justice. And as much as I wish it were otherwise, it is not for me to know when this pandemic will come to an end. But it's not going to stop me from trying, because there's always another news source I can have my eyes glued to. There's always another Facebook article that I can click on to try to read the tea leaves of medical trials and infection rates. And the disciples do the same. It's not 2 minutes after Jesus has told them that they aren't to know the future. But as soon as Jesus ascends up into heaven and disappears behind the clouds, the disciples immediately start bending back to stare up at the sky in hopes of catching a glimpse of when that future will come. And I think the reason we do that is this. We don't like feeling powerless. And we know we're powerless to control what the future will bring, but if we can know when it's coming and what it's bringing, that at least gives us a little bit of control in allowing us to prepare. And that may not be much power, but it is some power to know how long we have to endure in our present condition. It gives us a goal that we can set our eyes to. It gives us the strength to grit through and bear it to the end. Like Bill Keyes, who may have been bent over staring at the ground for a month, but he knew that if he kept just doing this for 30 days, at the end of those days, he had the hope that his eyes would improve. We need something to look at to give us hope. And so the disciples look to the skies. But then two angels show up and say, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand staring at the heavens? Jesus, who has been taken from you up to heaven, will come to you just as he went into heaven." Which is the angel's way of saying, stop staring at the sky. When Jesus comes, you'll know you're not going to miss him. And so it does you no good to wait around for him with your head stuck in the clouds. And so when the disciples are told they can no longer look to the sky for their hope, they have to return to Jesus' final words on earth. Jesus' final words, which he says immediately after he tells them that they aren't to know the future. Because after Jesus says that they don't have the power to know the times and the periods that the Father sets, he says to them, "But you will have power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth." Jesus says, you don't have the power to know the future. But Jesus promises them a greater power, the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit that they will see not in the sky or in the clouds, but in each other as they learn to be witnesses for Jesus. Witness is just a word that means someone who shares what they've seen. And so what Jesus is saying is that though they may no longer see him in the body that they have known, they will see Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit in each other when they learn to share Jesus with each other. And so when the angels say to the disciples that they can no longer stare into the sky to look for the future that Jesus will bring from the clouds and instead tell them to look for the Spirit that Jesus sends them now. Where do the disciples look? Not up to the clouds and not down to the ground. They look to each other. They gather together and they hold each other close in prayer. And Acts is kind enough to name the people who do this. Acts names Peter, who denied Jesus three times. Acts names James and John, who tried to weasel their way into positions of power at Jesus' right and left hand and were denied. Acts names Thomas, who doubted. It names Nathanael, who said, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" The Gospels remind us that these disciples are very real and very imperfect people. And yet, through the power of the Holy Spirit, they hold each other in prayer, and in doing so, though they may no longer see Jesus in the body they knew, they learn to see in each other the body of Christ. And though they don't have the power to see into the future, to that moment when God will restore the kingdom of Israel. The Spirit gives them the power to see in each other the kingdom of God present now. And as we will see next week on the day of Pentecost, that power gives them the strength to face all the challenges of this world. This past week, Bill Keyes was my angel. He didn't say in so many words that I should stop staring up at the sky or down at my phone. But he shared with me the troubles he was having with his eyes still. You see, while that surgery did indeed prevent him from going blind, prevented his eyes from getting worse, they didn't make his eyes get better. And so as a result, Bill says that even when he wears his glasses, as he's reading, sometimes he'll see a word and a letter will be missing. And he says that when he watches me preach, at that distance, my face becomes fuzzy and grotesque. And that's with his glasses on. When he takes off his glasses, he says he starts to see a double vision. And that's been happening a lot lately, because when he wears a face mask, it fogs up his glasses, so now he's going into the world seeing double. And this past week, as he was going for a walk, where he'd normally make a point to look with keen eyes to see the splendor of God's creation, he was walking with a mask on, and so his glasses off. And as he passed underneath a tree where he would normally see branches and leaves, in that moment, all the world blurred together into one aura of majesty. And he told me the world fell silent in that second. And he felt all around him, in every being of his body, the loving presence of God. With his imperfect eyes, Bill still had a beautiful vision of God's presence. And so he said to me that he is grateful for his eyes. They aren't good at seeing into the distance. And so he has learned that he just has to hold a little closer the people that he loves. And it occurs to me, that's true for us also. Our eyes are not good at seeing into the distant future. And so we have to hold a little closer the people that we love and see in them Christ's presence now. And so I am making it my spiritual practice in this coming week in which we prepare to receive the power of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. I'm making it my spiritual practice to only check the news for 20 minutes each day. And after that, if I am tempted to click on a Facebook news article, I will instead text a friend. And if I am tempted to tune in to the radio to listen to an update, I will instead call someone that I care about. And if I'm tempted to turn on the TV and watch the news, I'll instead FaceTime someone I love. And if I can't get a hold of any of those people, I will offer up a prayer of thanksgiving. On this Memorial Day weekend, a prayer of thanksgiving for people who have given their lives in love of others, in service to God and to this country. Because I may not be able to see the future in the clouds, but I am surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. And so, may we gain our power, not from seeing into the future, in search for our kingdom being restored, but may we hold close those people in whom we see God's kingdom now. Amen.